We're going to be in Luke chapter number 10, Luke chapter number 10, the last part of the chapter. We're up to that part as we just continue to systematically go through the book of Luke. We're up to chapter 10, verse 38 through 42, the end part of the chapter. Celia, thank you for the song that reminds us of the King, the Christ, who has come to save us from our sins, which is the message of Christmas. Thank you for being here. Shirley, thank you for dinner last night. It was so good. And all of those who so willingly served, and I know there was a lot of parts in that, and so thank you for serving us so well last night. It was so good, and we're grateful and thankful beyond words that we could muster to say. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of the priority of the Word of God in the life of a child of God. The priority of the Word of God in the life of a child of God. Verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing," how many? One. "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, what a glorious privilege it is for us to open your word and to read from it, and to have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, illuminating us, so that not only may we read it, but we could understand it and it could be applied and obeyed. That is a wonderful, wonderful privilege. And we thank you for it. And we pray that we would see the Word of God this morning as a glass that we could look through and see you as you reveal yourself to us through your word, and that we could also look through your word as a mirror that it would reflect and we could see ourselves. Two vital things we need to see this morning. We need to see God, and as we see God, we'll truly see ourselves. So I pray the Holy Spirit would move, and the movement of our hearts would be from the Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we would pray that you would do that work. In Christ's name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. I think there is a theme that runs through chapter 10. And I just want to mention it in passing before we move on to the meat of the message or the passage. Jesus has sent out 70. Remember at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus sent out 70, two by two, and they came back excited about what they were able to do. And you remember Jesus corrected them and sort of refocused their misguided understanding by telling them that they should not rejoice in the fact that demons were subject unto them, but they should rejoice in the fact that their names were written down in heaven. Don't rejoice in your doing. Rejoice in what Christ is doing to get your name in the book. And then the lawyer comes, right? Last week, the lawyer comes to Christ in a very trapping way, asks the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus again emphasizes that eternal life is not in what you do, it is in trusting and receiving Christ as He comes to save us. And you know that they didn't trust Christ, did they? They crucified Him. But He was the one that was despised and forsaken that they needed to trust for their salvation. It wasn't in what they do, it was in what Christ was doing. And finally, we have this text before us this morning where Martha becomes upset with Mary because she's not what? Doing. And Jesus, a final time, does not support the doing, but supports the listening. It is of primary importance that we listen to the Word of God. It is to be a priority in the life of a believer. Amen? Not in our doing, but in what Christ has done and what Christ teaches and what we hear in the Word of God. As fallen creatures, we certainly, I think, tend to put the emphasis on doing. And Jesus never puts the emphasis on our doing. And that is something we should think about in the larger context of this chapter. But this morning, we are going to deal with a single passage that we have read. If there ever was a passage of Scripture that the church in America needed to hear, I think it's this one. If there ever was a passage of Scripture that the church in America needed to hear at Christmas, I think it's this one. And I don't think that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, could make it any clearer than what He makes it in this passage. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus were siblings who loved Jesus. They loved Jesus. They had received Jesus. They had opened their house to Jesus on numerous occasions, and we see one of those occasions here in the text. And as we walk through the text, I want us to see, and I want us to grasp the priority of a believer, a priority of the child of God, is to sit at the feet of Christ and hear Him. And I want to try to place my thoughts under three main headings. The first, we will examine the description of Martha, because there's three main players here. We'll look at the description of Martha, then we'll turn our attention to the devotion of Mary, and then finally, the disclosure of Jesus. That's sort of how Luke gives us the text, and so we want to remain true to that. I have to apologize this morning because I don't think we're going to get past point one. And this was sort of like a bad steak. The more I chewed it, the bigger it got. Amen? And so I think we're going to get point one, which I think would be good. And then tonight, if you'll come back, we'll do point two and three, looking at the devotion of Mary and then the disclosure of Christ in the text. But we want to begin by looking at the description of Martha. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to Christ, and said, Lord, dost thou now care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Mary's sitting at the feet of Christ listening to him teach. Martha seems to be doing all the preparations for the meal. And she says, Lord, don't you care that I'm doing all this work alone? Tell her, bid her, therefore, that she help me. And so Martha is busy, and I'm going to take my time because we're just doing one point, okay? So it's going to take us a while, so don't get nervous. Martha is busy getting a dinner ready for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the guest, and Martha wants to get a dinner together for him. I think that it is important to Martha that the dinner is good, that she gets it right. It is Jesus, after all, as the guest, and I don't think that you want to be serving Jesus burnt food or undone chicken or whatever. And I think that she wants the places at the table set correctly. This is Christ, and everything needs to be done well. And so there's much to do in doing this dinner. There's much to prepare. There's much to do to get this dinner ready. And Martha is busy doing it, and she is doing it by herself because Mary, who I think has some responsibilities, right? I'm thinking that the two sisters have responsibilities when they have a guest. Martha may be in the kitchen and Mary may be getting things ready and at the table, but whatever the responsibilities are, Mary's not doing them and Martha is. Because Mary has sat down at the feet of Jesus, and instead of doing, she is listening to Jesus. And so we have this description from Luke of Martha. And we begin by looking at that word cumbered. Martha was cumbered about much serving. Now, the word cumbered doesn't mean she was overloaded. It means that she was simply distracted. And there's where I want to begin this morning. Mary was distracted. What Mary is doing, preparing a meal for Christ, now I do want you to listen this morning, if you would. Mary is not doing a bad thing when she's preparing a meal for Christ. She's doing a good thing. Amen? Getting a dinner prepared for Jesus, I think, is a good thing. He is God, but He is human. So what she is doing is not inherently a bad thing. But it became a bad thing. A good thing is made a bad thing because of the attitude toward the good thing. When Jesus rebukes Martha, he doesn't rebuke her doing, he rebukes her attitude toward it. A good thing becomes a bad thing when it takes precedence over hearing the Word of God. Waiting on you. A good thing becomes a bad thing when it takes precedence over hearing the Word of God. I don't know how that could be more clearer in the text. And I'm hoping you're seeing this, because I want to go as slow as I can so that you get it. This task that Martha was doing and expecting help from Mary in doing has become more to Martha than it should. It's become bigger to Martha than what it really is. And here is the problem. It was Martha's expectations that were elevated, not Jesus's. This is where we get into choppy waters as Christians, isn't it? When we begin to live according to our expectations and our desires instead of God's. What would Jesus want us to do if he came to our house? Sit at his feet and listen. What does God want us to do? Hear his Son. Hear the Word of God. And yet, there is distraction. Here is the definition for distraction. A distraction is the dividing of attention from a chosen object of attention onto the source of the distraction. It's a division from one object to another. And distraction is either caused by one of two reasons. Number one is a lack of interest in the object of attention. I'm distracted because I'm just not interested. Now, I don't think that's the case here with Martha. I think Martha loves Jesus. I think she's excited to have Jesus. I think she wants to be hospitable to Jesus. But you understand, there are many in our country, there are many in our world today that are just not interested in Jesus. They're interested in everything else but Jesus. But I don't think that's true of Martha. The second reason for distraction is the attractiveness of something other than the object of attention. For Martha, this meal was attractive to her. Doing this right was attractive to her. Getting this perfect for Christ was attractive for her. Serving Jesus was attractive to her. Making sure the task was done was attractive to her. It was not attractive to Jesus. But it was attractive to her. And Martha is well-meaning. She means well. She is not doing anything that's terribly wrong. Martha is doing what she feels she should do. But Martha has her priorities all wrong. Martha is wrong in her attitude toward these things. It was on account of her desire to do something really good that she does something really bad. Did you hear that? It was because she wanted to do something really good that she wound up doing something really bad. I see no evil intent here. I see no evil, sinful intent. It was because she was zealous, but yet was misguided in her zeal that she did something bad. Was there a dinner needed that night? Yes. Was it important for the family, including Jesus, to eat? Yes. Was it, and is it not right to do your best for Jesus? Yes. But not if it comes ahead of or takes the place of listening to the Word of God. Somebody help me. A good thing put ahead of or replacing hearing the Word of God becomes a bad thing. And I hope you're seeing this. A good thing, a necessary thing, an important thing can become a bad thing if it's put ahead or done instead of attending hearing the Word of God. And I really don't know how God can make it any more clear. It is Martha's desires and her expectations that are moving her, that are driving her, that are causing her to do not God's expectations and not God's desires. Because he says there's one thing needful And Mary's doing that thing. That's his desires. That's his expectations. But Mary's, or Martha's, are a little bit different. What I want to remind you of this morning is that you don't have to do bad things to sin. You know, we're all about pointing out the bad things in people, and yet good things can be a sin if they are prioritized ahead of God's Word. This meal was becoming a bad thing no matter how good Martha is going to make it. I don't care how good the chicken was or how good the meal was, no matter how good it tastes or how good it looks, no matter how good it turns out, no matter how good it made Martha feel to accomplish the task, it was bad. And it was bad because in doing the task, in making the meal, in doing the deed, it kept her from hearing God's word. That's why it was bad. And I hear you thinking, you're thinking, yes, but, and there are no buts. But you don't understand, there are no buts. Anything you put ahead of hearing the Word of God is a bad thing. Anything, even good things. Because, back to our original proposition, because there is nothing more important in the life of a child of God, and the priority must be, there's nothing more important in the life of a child of God than hearing and reading God's Word. Nothing. Nothing. If I had to describe the church in America with one word, I would say the church in America is distracted. Let me plow a little bit closer. If I were to be honest as pastor and had to describe Lakeview Baptist Church with one word, I would say distracted. I would say that Lakeview Baptist Church is full of people who love God, who want to serve God, but who are like Mary, distracted. And that's not a good thing. We are a loving church. We are a friendly church. We are a giving church. We are a good church. We have good, I would say we have great people at Lakeview Baptist Church. There's no other place I would rather be than here. But I would say that there are times when we are distracted. Just like most churches in Pickens County and most churches in America. Now the reason that I say that is because we often have the same attitude as Martha does. Don't we too find more important things to do at times than read the Word of God or come to church and hear the preaching of the Word of God? Don't we? Let me give you some evidence. We probably normally, we'll say when normally because this is close to Christmas. I can't say what we have today. normally we have 140, 150, maybe 160 people here on Sunday mornings. Maybe we have that many here today, 140, 150. Sunday night we'll have 80. Do this. Sunday morning, 140, 150. Sunday night, 80. Wednesday night in the auditorium we'll have 50. Now, I don't think that it's because we have people who on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights are out committing egregious sins, do you? I don't think that our people are out drinking and swarping and hooping and hollering. But I think it's because we are a people who are distracted. And we put things ahead of sitting and hearing God's Word. In our own country, in America, in the United States of America, churches are doing, well, in our own county, let me say this, in our own county, we have churches who are doing away with their Wednesday evening service. You know why? Nobody comes. And they have canceled their Wednesday night services, and now they're looking at canceling Sunday night services. You know why? Nobody comes. Did you know in America, 3,500 churches every year, 3,500 churches every year close their doors because people just don't come and they don't have the funds to keep the lights on and the things going. I don't know what you call that, but I call it distracted. People will miss church to cook. Say amen. To work, to do projects around the house, to run errands, to get shopping done, to visit family, to fish, to hunt, to sit with the sick, to go to reunions, to do something fun, to clean house, to do schoolwork, to go to their kids' games and competitions. None of those things are bad things. But they become bad things because of our attitude toward them, that they are more important at the time than coming and hearing God's Word. Distracted. People come to church and do their duty and then they leave. They sing in the choir, they teach a class, they do their little duty, and then they have something more pressing to do instead of staying for the Word of God expounded and read. We have people who come to serve, but if they don't serve that day, they don't come that day. We have people getting things ready for something that happens after the preaching when preaching's going on. Distracted. And this time of year is the absolute worst for distraction. It's Christmas, and certainly we are too busy cooking, too busy buying, too busy running to and fro, too busy attending this party and this dinner and seeing this person and that person. We don't have time to go to church, or we're too tired to go to church. That's what this time of year has become. And so from November to after the first of the year, attendance and offerings in church. One of the least attended services of the year will be what we call a Christmas Eve service. And I have had leaders in the church tell me they can't come to a Christmas Eve service because they have too much to do. Distracted. Good people doing good things, yet making them bad things because they're distracted. You know the one question nobody has asked me except my wife? I've been here 14 and a half years. Nobody's ever asked me this question except my wife. And here's the question. Preacher, why don't we have a Christmas Day service? It is Christ's birthday, after all. That's the day we're celebrating Christmas. Why do we not come together as a church family and worship and glorify God on His day? Because a Christmas morning service would be an interruption to our plans. Our minds and our thoughts and our efforts are on a million things other than worshiping Jesus, whose birthday we are supposed to be observing. I'm sorry I'm such a downer this morning. And I don't want to sound like I'm fussing, because I'm not fussing. I don't want to sound like I'm fussing this morning. I'm trying to get you to see how easy it is for a good thing to become a bad thing. Not fussing at you, but how easy it is for us who are fallen creatures to let good things come into the way of best things. Mary did that, didn't she? I mean, Martha did that. It's so easy for me to let an important thing become a consuming thing. It's easy for me to let a joyous thing become an idol. To let a good thing become a distraction from what really is vital and important in my life, God's Word. And it happened to Martha. And it can happen to you, and it can happen to me as well. Very easily. What in the world is wrong here? Martha trying to serve Jesus, trying to do for Jesus. And yet Jesus says, you picked the wrong thing, Martha. And if serving Jesus, if the effort in serving Jesus instead of sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing Him, if that's wrong, how much more wrong is our things that aren't serving Jesus but yet keeping us from hearing the Word of God? Number two, the second part of point one, I'm done. Martha not only became distracted, but she became disgruntled. Because she is distracted from what she really needs, what she really needs, what she really is vital in her life, what really needs to be a priority in her life is the Word of God. Yet she's become distracted from that in cooking this meal. So in the distraction, she becomes disgruntled. She becomes disgruntled with her sister. I want you to listen. And she becomes disgruntled with her Lord. And she jeopardizes the harmony of the relationship with her sister and with the Lord. She asks the Lord, "Don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? She's sitting and I'm doing. She has responsibilities that I'm having to do." And then not only does she ask Jesus, but then she orders Jesus. "Tell her to help me." She's upset with her sister and she's upset with Jesus. The main thing here is that we need to be sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing what He says. And when we are distracted from that, then we become disgruntled. And we become irritable and ugly at our brothers and sisters in Christ. You with me? When we're not under the Word of God, when we're just occasionally under the Word of God, we're Sunday morning, then we're not Sunday night and Wednesday. We're just sort of, we don't read the Bible during the week. We're just sort of, you know what happens? Our brothers and sisters of Christ can't do anything right. We become upset with them. And the lack of time in God's Word affects the harmony between us and our brother and sister in Christ and the harmony in the church, because if things aren't clicking here, they won't be clicking here. Say amen. And then will try to twist God's arm, will try to twist what God says so that he will say what we want him to say instead of what he wants to say. The Lord, tell her. You tell her to help me. Well, if the Lord wanted to tell her to help her, couldn't the Lord say that? But we'll take God's word, won't we? We'll twist his words to justify our way. There was no submission of Martha here to God's way. Make her do it my way. Are you all with me? Instead of listening to Jesus, she's telling Jesus what to say. And it is amusing to hear people twist Scripture to justify their actions. We become dissatisfied with the Word of God and with God Himself. We begin to find fault with others because we don't think like, or they don't think like we think, and they don't do that which supports us in doing what we're doing, or they say things that would be corrective to our attitudes. Why? Because we have been in the kitchen instead of at the feet of Jesus. And some of you are disgruntled with me this morning. That doesn't matter. Because if you sit at the feet of Jesus at every opportunity, your family may become disgruntled with you. When you miss what they think is really important to them to hear God's word instead, they're going to become disgruntled with you. Your kids will become disgruntled when you tell them that they can't miss church to do this or do that. They become disgruntled. That's going to happen. When you make your family go to church, they become disgruntled. When you do the right thing, others become disgruntled with you. Let it be. You think Martha got a little upset? Probably. And the thing here is, for a believer, time absent from the Word of God, reading it, hearing it preached, expounded, that will always leave us to some degree disgruntled, right? Because we need that time with God. We need that time hearing His Word. And it's so easy for us to this morning just to justify and to repeat. So easy for us to say, preacher, you're crazy. And if I was saying this, I would encourage you to let it go. Well, this is God's word. And you're God's child. And if you can hear God's word and ignore it, there's something severely spiritually wrong. Say amen. Distracted. Well, there's so much more to say here that's more encouraging than that. There's much to say about the devotion of Mary as she sits at the feet of Christ and the benefits of that. And then there's much to say about what Jesus says at the end. And I want to address those things tonight. But I do want you to leave here this morning with this. A good thing can become a bad thing if it's put ahead of or in place of reading the Word of God or hearing the Word of God expounded. Amen? It can become a bad thing. Because the priority in the life of a believer is the Word of God. Nothing is more important than this. Amen? Your family's not. Nothing is to be put ahead of the Word of God. Dear Heavenly Father, bless Your Word to Your people's hearts. May it find a lodging place. May You smooth disgruntlements. May You smooth over irritations. And may the Holy Spirit convict us of the truth of Your Word. And as Mary, or as Martha needed forgiveness for her distraction, certainly I do, and many others do as well. And may we certainly confess those and know that in Christ we can be forgiven. And help us to be focused and centered on Your Word. And we'll thank You for that in Christ's name and for Jesus' sake. Amen.